Hello and welcome to NYPD Blue Balls. It's important to know that this is a commentary episode of NYPD Blue Balls. That means we are recording Season 7, Episode 3 of NYPD Blue Balls while watching Season 7, Episode 4 of NYPD Blue. Now, if you need the episode, you can find them on Hulu currently. I've been saying that it is on Amazon. I've actually checked recently. It doesn't look like all of them are. Not 100% sure what's going on there, but I do know that they are available on DVD at least most of the seasons, even though it is hard to find. But I know with the power of the internet and a can-do attitude, you can find a way to watch NYPD Blue. Anyway, thank you for listening to NYPD Blue Balls. If you choose to listen to the rest of this, please leave a rating and review on whatever platform you're using to listen to it. It's helpful to let us know what we're doing wrong and most likely things we cannot change. But also, it just proves that someone, somewhere out there is actually listening to this thing. Anyway, I'll talk to you at the end of the episode. Enjoy!
Settle, settle. 1, 2, 3.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to NYPD Blue Balls. This is Season 7, Episode 4, The Naked Are the Dead. And it opens with a bunch of naked guys dead in a apartment.
No, Kirk, it opens with a kid wearing a stupid fucking hat.
Okay, well, the actual scenes that were filmed is what I'm talking about. And there's, was it like 7 naked dudes?
Yes.
7 naked dudes, 7. All tied up. And taped up.
Yeah.
And one guy has his throat slit. The other guys were shot directly in the head.
Right in the back of the head.
Also, I have to apologize ahead of time. The two dogs that I live with have decided to bark today. I don't know why, and I can't get them to stop. So if you hear it, I apologize.
I think you should stop being a bitch and appreciate the fact that you live with dogs.
Well, if the dogs wouldn't be such bitches, I'd appreciate them more.
Sorry also, that the dog is doing what the dog was, like, created to do.
No, not this dog. You haven't met these dogs. Also, right here is just a moment where Sipowicz kind of flips a bitch because he had a theory that Sorensen didn't really like, and now he's butthurt because he's like, well, then how about your theory? He's like, I don't have a theory yet. We just got here. Imagine being the uniform cop watching these dudes bitch.
I mean, that happens, though. I don't want to say his name, but when you and the other guy who worked in the warehouse together for a long time would leave the warehouse and talk to other parts of your company, I bet you they thought, like, you two guys were a bunch of weirdos.
No, yeah, for sure. And we're here at the credits. This is NYPD Blue Balls, where I, Kirk, and the other voice, Kyle, talk about every single episode of the best show ever, NYPD Blue.
So, are we just going to ignore it? I mean, it's 9/11 and there was 2 shots in the towers.
Okay, well, I don't really mention when these are recorded, Kyle. So
we need to commemorate it. We need to do a moment of silence or something.
Kyle, we never forgot, so... to pull a Dean Pelton from Community, we laugh, but I actually forgot. I forgot it was 9/11 this morning when I started up the stream that I did this morning, and I was like, oh yeah, 9/11. Also Butters' birthday.
A person that I know is going to a wedding today.
Oh, that's a good way to never forget your anniversary.
But, like, they chose that date. That's what's crazy. Like, they must have got, a steal. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. It's easy to book that day, for sure.
Either that or they're Saudis and they don't give a shit.
We can't turn this into a 9/11 episode of the show. It's not going to air for months.
It's not going to air ever. We'll get canceled by people who, the nobodies of the world.
right here in the office, they're talking about the weirdness of the scene. There's dead dudes. There's no ID. They don't know what's going on with it. Yeah.
Fancy's making quips about naked men.
Well, Fancy, you know.
Have you noticed this season? I mean, we're only 4 episodes in,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know. I'm trying to remember. I feel like in these first 4 episodes, he's not really in them that much.
Yeah.
Or like when he is in it, it's very like he is just like wall. He is the wall for everyone to bounce the storyline off of. You know, like he's not really involved that much anymore.
Yeah, I agree with that. It seems like they've kind of reduced his time.
Yeah. I'm not happy about that, but
no, because he's awesome. He's kind of one of the best characters here. Yeah. Here, I just want to highlight in this scene that they yell at some people. Almost all of them are Asian. Yells at them for being in the way. Then they see a woman who's like half of Medavoy's age, and he's like, "Hey, I'm sweet on that paramedic." And Martinez is like, "Uh-huh." And then he makes a complete ass of himself trying to impress her.
I have so much to say about this storyline.
Well, start it.
I will
get started.
No, I'll wait. Let's just talk about the horrible like flirting he does.
Well, yeah, his idea of flirting is like yep, just doing my job. I'm a detective. No big deal.
Yeah, did he think like sitting down and just being like $28 on him, not a robbery, like you think was gonna like get her excited?
Yeah, and also a good thing to remember: this woman, technically a doctor.
Is she?
I think so.
No, okay. Well, I don't think you have to be a doctor to be a paramedic.
Well, she's closer to a doctor than Medavoy is to a real police officer. At this point in his career.
I've met some paramedics. You don't gotta be a doctor.
That's the tagline on their application process. You don't gotta be a doctor. Join the paramedics.
I love Martinez.
Yeah,
Martinez has the quips of a man who's like married.
Well, he is married.
Yeah, no shit, Sherlock.
And then this part is hilarious. So this is technically a famous face. I say technically because I don't think you'll know him. But the guy who plays the profiler, Jarvis, he's played by Andy Umberger.
No, not him.
I could have swore I've seen him before, and it's because he did the voice and motion capture for the coroner in L.A. Noire, the video game.
Oh, so you didn't really see him?
No, you did, because they mapped his face and movements to be the character. Well, L.A. Noire was, weird.
So, I just recently watched something that made fun of that game.
Uh-huh.
And they talked, someone was playing, oh, I'm going to go home and play L.A. Noire. And they were like, oh, L.A. Noire sucks. Like, who would have thought that, a fucking blah, blah, blah. And, they just ripped on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember it brought back all of these memories of me watching you play that game.
Mm-hmm.
And me, I watched you play a lot of games. Not that you, that's all you did. But, there were times, we shared a room.
Mm-hmm.
I watched you play many different games in your life growing up. I came in and watched you play games. Sat when I come and visit sometimes, when I would stay in your room, I'd watch you play games. I would have to say that of all the games I've watched you play, L.A. Noire was the dumbest. And the most fucking boringest game to watch. It was like watching Miller's Crossing. It was like watching you play the movie Miller's Crossing. But it wasn't written as good. You get what I'm saying?
Yes, I know exactly what you're saying, yeah.
And, everyone was like, oh, it's going to be, this, breakthrough game. And I just remember sitting here being like, Kirk, what the fuck are you talking about?
Well,
you've gotten some games correct, but this game looks dumb as shit.
Yeah. I agree with you, and I'll continue, but this is just the guys bouncing off the idea that it might have been a drug hit.
And Sidwitz keeps giving the profiler shit because of the Bucci case.
Yeah, the profiler was the guy trying to give hints and ideas of who could have kidnapped the Bucci girl, and it turned out none of it was true because eventually, just some dumb luck, Sidwitz found out where she was.
It wasn't dumb luck.
It was just the right place, right time.
He had a hunch. That's how all cases are broken.
Okay.
Hunches.
So I did want to mention this guy, Kirk Baltz. I thought I recognized him. I didn't, but apparently he's on that show Snowfall, and Dad really likes that show.
He was in something else that I know. I swear that it's not just this.
Oh. He was also in Reservoir Dogs. I don't know if you heard that, but...
What did you say?
He was in Reservoir Dogs.
Yeah. He was a police officer. He was the cop. That's right. That's why I've seen him. He gets his ear cut off. Spoiler.
spoiler for Reservoir Dogs. But you want to? I do want to keep talking about... This is where he gives some information, and it seems like he wants to cut out Fancy, and they're like, what the fuck is your problem? But he keeps mentioning a bloody move from a Vicente Ramos... that's going to be important later because it's kind of funny. But Sipwitz gets pissed at him.
I feel like you're dodging the LA Noir.
Oh, I want to talk about it, but I also don't want to step too far away from the episode. But LA Noir, it is really bad. And I think what happened is Rockstar was like, they were working on their technology that would eventually make Grand Theft Auto 5 better. And they were like, we have this idea for motion capture and acting that's really going to bring it up to the next level. And sure enough, like, it did. Like, it made Grand Theft Auto that much better. But to get there, they had to make this really boring, like, L.A. Confidential game that was also not very fun. And
ooh, L.A. Confidential. I like that one, too.
Yeah, like, it was clearly, like, an art piece that was to show off technology, but it didn't land like I think they thought it would.
Yeah, that game sucked.
One of my favorite YouTube series is this YouTube channel is playing through it and like making jokes while they play it, and they call it the Idiot Detective because the game has to keep going even if you fuck up all the interrogations and the clues.
Yeah.
So it's mostly them just fucking about and making jokes. But here we have Kirkendall making a series of terrible decisions.
She gets a phone call. Her husband is in the slammer.
And then she says out loud that she told him to get out of town.
Run. Run, run, Rudolph.
I don't know why that's really funny to me. And Fancy overhears it, and now he's... we're about to see Dark Fancy, where he gets pissed.
Wow,
just like Dark Brandon.
Okay, yeah. I know, but it's just funny because, like, you know.
Oh, I don't see race. I don't know what you're talking about.
No, I was just thinking he's wearing a dark suit.
Oh, okay. But he just gets right up in Russell's face, and he's like, are you going to tell me what the fuck's going on so I can keep her job? Like, and Russell's like, oh, shit. I was just having coffee a second ago.
Well, now that I say they're not utilizing him, here he is in, like, the main storyline.
But it's true that they weren't, really. And here is Medavoy having his dick in the way of trying to do his job.
Yeah, like...
Talk about it. Let it out.
No, I'm just gonna wait till the conclusion. I'm just gonna wait until you'll know when.
Oh, also this guy. Shit.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Ranjit. He's from How I Met Your Mother.
He's also in the seminal classic Kazam.
Yes. Maybe True Lies, too.
He's also in The Big Lebowski.
Yes. That's what I... And Ranjit is also in True Lies, randomly.
He's also, his name is Marshall Manouche. I just feel like giving his real name, Marshall Manouche.
Marshall, I, call me racist, but I did not think his first name would be Marshall. Because, you know, like, that was the big dum-dum guy's name on How I Met Your Mother.
Oh, shit, it's Marshall Manesh, not Manouche. I misspelled.
I thought you were going to be like, he, like, you really, like, you royally fucked up his first name.
No. Oh my god, I misspelled his name completely. It's not Marshall.
Yeah.
No, it's no.
like Magash or something like that.
He does a good job in that scene. He really kills it for the like 30 seconds he's on screen.
Yeah, he's funny.
Just saying that someone found the shit that was stolen out of his warehouse on the street, and he wants to go kill him.
I can tell you this. I have talked to that guy in New York City. I have seen that man running around on that exact same cell phone in New York City to this day.
So this is, what's this guy's name?
I really like this undercover cop guy. I really like the choices that he makes and how he plays him. I think it's really funny.
Morrison? Detective Morrison?
Yeah.
Because he works with, I believe, organized crime. That's his division. And he believes this Vicente Ramos was making a bloody move, so they want to talk to him. And it turns out bloody move is in reference to some digestive issues.
Yeah, dude's having a hard time pooping right.
He's shitting blood.
Got polyps in his anus. You ever have a polyp on your anus?
I have not had a polyp on my anus, no. Have you?
Not that I know of.
I was about to say, is this how we find out that you've had some anus troubles?
I mean, I've never shit blood either.
I did once.
I got that going for me.
I did once. I'm not going to get into the specifics, but it sucked.
Yeah, I think so, Greg. I think when you look down after your wife and you see blood, it's going to suck.
So, this, yeah, it was not fun. Surprising. So Martinez goes up to the guys selling the clothes on the street.
He's a character actor, right? Like, he's been in other things before, the guy with the nose.
Yeah, this guy is Johnny Bella.
And then fucking Shaggy Doo behind him.
Shaggy Doo. I could have swore.
Been Shaggy Doo.
I could have swore I've seen Jason Winther. I believe that's his name. I could be fucking wrong. I think that's him. But I think
Jason Winther, the dude with the nose?
Yeah, like, no, the dude behind the dude with the nose, Shaggy. I could have swore I've seen him in something, but I cannot find it in his credits, so I don't know what the hell's going on. But Lewis...
Here comes droopy-ass Metavoid.
Look at his hair.
His kid's gap suit.
Yeah, you want to know why that woman's not impressed? Look at your hair, bro. It looks like you got up from bed. And your bald
head. Again, the dude with the nose... I have had conversations with someone exactly like him.
Well, that's Louis Venaria, and I think he does a great job.
He's
in
Italian,
this.
No way.
He is in A Bronx Tale and The Irishman.
I remember The Bronx Tale. Never saw The Irishman.
Once Upon a Time in Brooklyn, he's been in a lot of very specific types of roles, so, as you would imagine.
Anything in New York during a specific time, he was there.
He got it. He got the job. Here's Kirkendall talking to her stupid-ass husband, whose plan, I gotta tell you, seems pretty foolproof.
The only reason it works is because he's used everybody and played it right, you know?
Well, because what he's saying is... he's going to say that he's innocent because when his wife, who's a cop, says, hey, they're going to arrest you, he doesn't believe he's doing anything wrong, so that'll save him by throwing her under the bus.
He doesn't believe that he's doing anything wrong, so he didn't run.
Which doesn't make any sense.
So what he's saying is, she told me I need to stop, but he is going off the understanding he's done nothing wrong. So he's just, if he runs, it's an admission of guilt. But if he stays and keeps doing his job, when they pull him over, he can go, I have no idea what you're talking about. Like, all I did was pick stuff up. I had no idea what was in those.
However, the implication is that he was told by a person. He was told by a person who represents the law that he's breaking the law. So he has learned right then that he is, whether he believes he is or not.
All he knows is that he is under suspicion, and that he needs to stop. But he doesn't know for what though.
I think he's
playing dumb.
I think he's a dumbass. I think that's what's happening here.
No, 100%. And then this is probably the best scene in the whole episode.
This one?
No, well, it leads when Fancy goes to talk to him.
Yeah, that's what I would agree. I think that's the best
scene. This is him. This is the rocket ship building. And then when he goes to talk to him, it's the blast off. But he's sitting in the chair and he's just like ready to roll.
This is the part where Papa Elon's minions are building the rocket before Papa Elon gets on it.
He doesn't even give Russell a chance to talk to her. He gets like, "You got two questions, bitch," and then I'm coming in. Like, that's it. You got two questions and you're done.
It is pretty funny how Fancy's like, "Okay, so obviously something's going on. Are you gonna fucking tell me what it is?"
Yeah.
And then he says, "We're gonna keep it out of the papers, but what the fuck's going on?"
Yeah.
And she, fuck, it's so good. It sucks, because you are right, and we did notice it. Fancy was underutilized in the first couple episodes, and then I feel like at this one, they were like, let's bring in the heat.
It was like, we've made some mistakes, we apologize.
And it might be because, spoiler alert, a character might be leaving soon. Don't want to say who.
We may have let our best player sit on the bench for a couple weeks. Sorry.
We need to fix that. But it is funny that, essentially, Fancy's getting all the information of what's going on, and then he's like, okay, so the solution is, I gotta go squeeze this asshole.
He basically is like, what did he ask you for? Like, I need to know what is he telling you he wants? Like, you have to just tell me that.
And it's also great how there's just this intermediary of John, the PAA, who just watches people walk around him and all this intense shit.
I love this little cabbie guy too.
Oh yeah, he's good. He's good. His name is Chuck Cooper. I have not seen him in anything before.
Chuckity, Chuckity, Chuck.
I enjoy this scene so much where Sipowicz, like, and that's the last we'll hear of him.
Yeah, that's so good.
Where he's just like, we're not going to hear you ever again because you're dumb.
He just starts offering him shit out of nowhere.
Oh my gosh. It's one of those great moments where, like, Sipowicz's passive aggression is also hilarious.
Yeah, it's like how, like, I feel like Dad would respond sometimes.
Oh yeah, 100%. It's very, very much something our dad would do. But yeah, this cabbie just drops the news that he transported some, like, tweakers away from that location of the dead dudes.
Place.
Hmm?
Yeah, out of the place with all the dead dudes, right?
Yeah, he's like, these tweakers hailed my cab and had a bunch of bags with them, and I just took them to where I think they live. And also, you were talking about how you met this guy. I think this guy does a fantastic job as this character.
What guy?
You want me to say it, but I'm not gonna. The guy who plays Johnny Bella.
The guy who plays Johnny who?
This guy. The one we're watching right now in the red shirt.
With the big old nose?
God damn it. I knew that's what you were doing.
No, he plays a good character. I'm not arguing that.
You just wanted me to say his nose was big.
Well, I mean, Metal Voice calls it a schnoz.
That's true. It is, he does have a large nose, but he does also have acting talent.
He does. He does. He's really good at this scene.
And it's like, you were mentioning, like, you met this guy, and it's like, I didn't, even though I've been to New York with you, I haven't had lots of conversations with guys like this, but these guys were there. Like, you could hear them, and you could see them, like, the way they talk, and the mannerisms and whatnot.
Oh, yeah, dude. It's kind of crazy.
And he, and essentially, he was just called to be the salesman for this stolen merchandise. And they're squeezing him to see if he was involved in the death of that guy, which he is not.
Yeah, because he was selling out of his car all of the stolen merchandise.
And then he, knowing the actual legal language, was saying, this all happened before I was involved. No idea where that stuff was. I was just called for my salesman skills. And what skills does he have?
He's a talker.
Yeah, he is a talker.
That's what he's there for. He's there to, like, be the talker, be the... sell those fucking leather pants, baby.
I also hated... He's one of those salesmen that just talks over you until you just buy something.
Oh, 100%.
Kind of like in the episode of It's Always Sunny where Hugh Honey and Vic Vinegar, they just talk over that couple until they sell the house.
Buy it. Buy it.
Buy this house.
Buy it. You want to buy this house.
Also, this dude, I think, does a great job, but you are right. He is Shaggy completely.
Yeah, 100%, dude. Shaggy Boo.
He is Matthew Lillard. Also, you know what? Call me crazy. Don't have your shirt open that much.
Well, he's Shaggy, dude.
And also, this story has to do with these brothers were stealing stuff out of a warehouse. This guy discovered a box of leather pants that was substantially heavier than the shirts. He threw out the box of pants without warning his brother below that it was coming down, and it landed on his head and broke his neck and killed him. I would just like to say out loud that if you and I, Kyle, were in the same situation, I wouldn't have just left you there to die.
Oh, I would.
Okay, well, that's nice to know.
Different people, dude.
Different people. Well, you at least wouldn't start selling the shit, like, the next morning.
Gotta pay for the funeral.
Wow, okay, well. Well, at least you wouldn't wear that shitty necklace that he's wearing.
You don't know that. You don't know what I'm wearing right now.
You wouldn't wear that gross-ass shirt that looks like a fucking macaroni grill tablecloth.
That shirt, to me, feels like... it's got, like, a lot of sweat in it. Like, I feel like it would be, like, a salty-ass shirt. You know what I'm saying?
It's like dripping.
He's been outside all day. Motherfucker's been, like, fucking selling t-shirts in the hot, in the heat, humidity in New York. Like, that's a salty tea.
And if you look at his hair and his face, he's definitely not showering regularly, and he probably does not own a speed stick, so it's just gross.
Speed stick.
So yeah, he murdered his brother, but he didn't see it.
Well, I mean, like, okay, so we got a question. Is it murder?
Well, it's, what is it called? Manslaughter.
Manslaughter. Is it accident? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
it's not murder, but... he did kill his brother.
Yeah, he killed his brother. He didn't murder him.
I mean, the way you're protesting makes it sound like you're planning my murder that will look like accidental death.
Well, it's interesting, Kirk, because I was wondering if you could help me move some boxes this weekend. Thanks.
In New York, from a warehouse building.
I appreciate. Yeah. You be on the first floor.
I'll toss them down.
I will be on the second.
So here is where fancy is laying it out for Dawn.
And I wouldn't leave you, dude. I would call an ambulance.
Oh, wow, you're too kind.
You're welcome.
Oh. You just want to see this dude get beat up, so, like, when this happens, I was like, oh, man, just hit him.
It's hard to, like, I mean, it's not hard. Like, the dude's a douche, and the guy acting does a good job, like, playing a douche.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, he sucks, dude.
The character sucks?
Such a dip. Yeah.
Like, he's Dawn, a horrible person.
His name's Dawn, first of all. Like, have you met any cool Dawns?
No.
Right?
No, I haven't. And there is... No, I haven't met any cool Dawns.
This is the best scene of the whole... This is the best scene.
Yep. When he says, you're going to forget her name. He's like, all right, no, nothing about Jill. And he's like, you keep saying her name. It's also hilarious how you know that that happens a fair amount in holding cells, where a cop comes in, threatens a guy, and then leaves. And the guy watching him just turns a blind eye. Okay, so real quick.
Well, Fancy's also fucking...
Lieutenant.
A lieutenant, so yeah.
Yeah.
That dude, you know what that dude's from? Long-haired dude?
Yeah, I was going to ask if you knew. I was going to ask if you knew. Who? This
He's
is Vincent
Castle. Captain Anaconda, baby. He's leading that ship down that river.
He played Mateo in Anaconda.
Yes. Oh, wow. Loved it. Yeah, love it. Love Mateo.
I was wondering if you caught it, and you were so excited to tell me that who it was.
There's a few of these character actors I get really stoked on. He is one of them.
Oh man,
I fucking love it. I love what he gets in.
His name is Vincent. I don't want to pronounce this wrong. Castellano. I can't do it.
Castellano.
It's Castellanos.
Castellanos?
Yeah, and I think his scene in this is great.
Yeah, he's good too.
Like, Sipowicz goes hard on him, and then he just spills what happened, which they went to rob an apartment they heard Coke was in, and it turned out to be like a Coke den, just to the brim with Coke.
To the brim with a Coke. Yeah.
All the dudes were already naked, so they couldn't smuggle out any Coke. And the guy he was with went crazy and killed all of them to prevent being hunted down themselves.
As one does.
You know, it's just the thing to do.
If you ain't doing it, you ain't living right. You know what I mean?
But it was also great how, and they mention, like, because there's all these crazy things about this case where they're like, why are they naked? Where are their clothes? Where are the money? Blah, 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 blah. And he basically just explains, like, they were already naked. We shot six of them and we didn't have any more bullets. So the crazy dude just slit the throat of the last guy. They stole their clothes to rob them later. Like... It's all just circumstances that led to these crazy situations.
But isn't that what, like, most crimes are?
Victim of circumstance?
No, it's like people just, like... Yeah, like, well, like... People not thinking rationally, freaking out, and, like... Escalating something more than it needs to be, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's all... This situation... Because these gentlemen, one could assume they were under the influence of drugs.
No, not drugs, dude.
Well, they went in just to get some Coke. Turned out there was a whole lot of Coke. It wasn't just a six-pack. It was the whole 24.
It was the whole keg.
And here we have Medavoy super stoked that he's going to take out that paramedic. who...
Okay, now I'll talk about what I want to talk about.
Okay.
This episode was only written by some old, creepy white man who, like, loves going out with younger women. That's it. That's all this episode was for.
You... You didn't happen to watch the episode after this one, right?
I did.
Okay. So you know what happens on that that outing.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And then here's where Fancy Shoes Martina, so I could talk to Kirk and Dahl in private.
Still doesn't matter.
Still doesn't. And then this is where he's like, yeah, he'll play ball, but you have to fucking leave him alone, Jill. You gotta stop thinking about that Don. Need to get that Cisco out of your brain.
Oh, you can't ever get Cisco off the brain.
You just want to keep saying, let me see that thong. Where's Cisco been?
Sitting at home collecting his royalties for Thong.
This is just another Thong royalty check.
That Thong. I like it when the beat goes. Maybe make your booty go.
Kyle, we don't want to get struck because it's too perfect. You'd be like, oh my god, they got Cisco on there.
Cisco here? Yeah, I saw his, like, colored hair. Read it too.
Alright. Here is the,
Fancy still got it.
Jarvis wants to leave a note for Sip. But yeah.
Ending's coming here. I kind of feel bad for this guy.
For Jarvis?
Yeah.
The other detective, you mean? The profiler?
No, Jarvis.
Yeah.
Because he's just doing his job. And I understand that, like, Sipwis doesn't necessarily vibe with that. But, like, all he did was do his job to try to help, like, give hope and, like, shit to the case, you know?
Well, yeah, I mean, we learn as this episode is coming to a close, Sipowicz is reconciling his frustrations from when he was drinking. And here he has to dig in the knife that his profile was wrong. And Jarvis was like, yeah, good job, guys. Thanks for doing your job. I appreciate it. Like, thank you. And then this fucking douche, he's getting made fun of right to his face and doesn't know. Because he's like, you guys don't have to include me in the paperwork. And he's like, were you fucking there? Then we have to include you in the paperwork.
No, but I get that guy, though. Like, I would kind of be like that, too. I'd be like, yo, like, my thing didn't even, like, pan out. It didn't work. Like, I didn't really help you guys. Like, there's no need to include me. Like, I don't know.
Well, it is kind of a, it also is funny how he sticks around to get a handshake. It seems to be taken with their detective abilities. And Sipowicz then reads the note and then goes over the history because, in case you're just joining us, folks, Sipowicz used to have himself a drinking problem.
No.
Like a real bad one. And one of the cases he was working when he was drinking was the Bucci case, which was a missing girl. He would later find that missing girl in an earlier episode of NYPD Blue when searching for a car for his son. But right now, he's reconciling that he used to harbor a lot of resentment towards the profiler because the profiler wasn't actually getting any leads, even though now he's realizing he was just doing the best he could to help out the family who was looking for their daughter. and the drinking was making it worse by just adding to the frustration. And awkwardly, Sorensen just has to sit there and kind of go like, yep, uh-huh. I don't know what you want me to do with this information.
I think Sorensen is kind of a douche when it comes to this.
Wait, why is he a douche? What?
Andy's like clearly like going through something.
But Andy also doesn't accept... I agree with you.
What?
I didn't want to talk over you. But, like, he's going through something, but he also hates it when people offer help and, like support. Like, Sorensen knows that he's just going to get, like, yelled at if he tries to help him.
Sorensen, dude.
Now, this scene, I thought, sucked. No offense to Sherry Rappaport, but...
Not Michael Rappaport's sister?
It might be. I don't know.
She acts like a Rappaport. I don't know what that means.
Michael Rappaport runs in the family?
Because Michael Rappaport was actually like in a lot of movies when he was younger.
Yeah, he was in Deep Blue Sea.
Before that.
But yeah, this whole scene was like... Honestly, when I watched this scene, I was like, remember when Russell and Simone were like in a relationship and that was interesting? We can't do that anymore.
The only thing this scene did for me was make me hungry and want lasagna.
Oh, fuck yeah, dude.
Like a good lasagna.
She's also not eating at all. I don't know if they're trying to hint at a possible like eating disorder or what, but...
No, she's just looking a little chub, so...
Wow.
Not going to let her eat on camera, you know?
Wow. Wow. That was rude.
Oh, that's not me. That's Hollywood, buddy.
She's looking a little chubs.
Hollywood...
But yeah, it's like, it's supposed to be a slice of their day, like, oh, she's working in anti-crime, oh, he's talking about Sipowicz, and then he's like, and then his weird OCD, because he has four utensils, but she mixes them up and he gets pissed. But they're like so uninteresting that it's not like when Simone and Russell were... you know, getting their relationship off the ground. It wasn't fun to watch.
Yeah, but also, I like, I don't know about you, but, like, I don't root for them. I don't, like, care for them to succeed. and I don't think it has much to do with her. It's more because, like, I don't like, as a character, Danny Sorensen.
Mm-hmm.
So, sure. Like, I just don't care, like, about this relationship.
Yeah, I don't think they did a good job starting or cultivating it at all.
No. And they, like, he kind of treats her like shit from the get-go, so...
They also, like, if I remember correctly, this part he just is like, so, you want to fuck? Like, what? And she's like, do you want to, like, warm me up or, like, try first? And he's like, sure, I'll give it a shot. But it's...
You're scurvy.
It's weird and gross.
You want to stir me up a little before you blah, 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 blah.
Also, the character that, I forgot his name. Oh, it was Vic. That was played by Vincent, who played Mateo. He is also in a future episode of NYPD Blue.
Oh yeah, he plays... Oh, I'll be quiet.
Yeah, you can't spoil it, bro. We might get there. Yeah, is there anything else about this episode you want to say before we wrap it up on The Naked Are the Dead?
No, No, I liked it. I just, the whole Metavoy storyline is weird to me. Like, I felt like it was not needed to have him have to, like, chase after a younger woman.
Yeah. I think the decision to include Fancy into a storyline and have him do a little thing, it really highlights like how uninteresting and how much I don't care about Sorensen. Because like when we get to Fancy and the Kirkendall stuff and with Sipowicz and this this Morrison guy, and it's pretty funny and good back and forth, we kind of, like, to me, I kind of forget that Sorensen's even around. And then when the episode ends on him, you're like, oh yeah, we're supposed to care about this one, which I don't. So yeah, it's kind of a weird episode in that way, where it has that really good middle part, but then at the end we're just like, oh yeah, we're supposed to be focused on you. Whatever.
On you. Yeah, it's a good episode. I like all the character actors. I think they really shot it out of the park with who actually, like, was, like, the character actors and, like, all that. I thought that was good, you know?
Yeah, the guy playing Johnny Bella and the cab driver and the two detectives. Yeah, and the guy playing Don, they kind of brought it in the bench squad of this episode, but, yeah.
Oh, the Sacramento Kings of, like, the 2000s.
The only problem is basically the bench mob. Basically, the problem right now is that Sorensen is basically Kyrie Irving.
No, Sorensen shows up for work.
Oh, goodness.
Sorensen is like half of the Kansas City Royals. because they were unvaccinated, so like they came to work but they weren't like super serious about it when they needed to be.
Anyway, on that note, bye everybody.
Eleanor sucks.
Thank you again for listening to NYPD Blue Balls. If you need more NYPD Blue goodness in your life, there's a couple of books out there, like What Would Sipowicz Do? A collection of articles written about the show. There's True Blue, a book written by creators and consultants about the first couple seasons. And then there's Gene Kendall's An Unofficial Guide to NYPD Blue, which I believe is 99 cents on Amazon. Now, if you enjoyed the sound of my voice and you enjoy old movies in the public domain or video games, you could check me out on Twitch at twitch.tv/KirkHasGlasses Monday evenings, Sunday mornings, and Wednesday evenings. Every single episode of NYPD Blue Balls is available on AsherBrothersPodcast.com. We have an Instagram at AsherBrothersPodcast, Twitter at AsherBrosPod, which is mostly just mentioning when new episodes of NYPD Blue Balls is out, and the occasional, very rare, new episode of Asher Brothers Podcast. There might be more coming, I'm not 100% sure, and it's usually made up of the stuff we were talking about besides the best show ever, NYPD Blue. Peace.